please welcome Roger and Leanne Hanna. Roger's going to come and bring our message.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning, and we feel honored to be with a group that's so committed that they woke up an hour early in the dark to get here this morning. So thank you for being here. We enjoyed our time with Joe and Kathy. They hosted us last night at their home, and it was a wonderful dinner and fellowship that we had together, and it's great to be here again. It's been a few years, and you've been one of our most faithful, generous, supporting churches for the ministry of Bible translation, reaching groups who do not yet have God's Word and bringing the Word of God to them in their own languages. So thank you for your part in this ministry in the Great Commission. This morning we'll be talking, reflecting a little bit on our journey with God, our journey with Jesus, and looking at some passages where we can reflect on what that's like and how God works in each of our lives and what He uses to draw us to Himself. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 84:5, and we'll be looking at Nehemiah chapter 9, where they take a look back and reflect on their journey with God as a nation. And before that, I just wanted to introduce our family. And we have four kids. They're all married. We have seven grandkids. It's hard to get them all together because they're spread out all over the world. And so these are four of our seven grandkids. And this is our oldest daughter, Janelle. And she and Mike are also serving with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Indonesia. They live in Indonesia. And Janelle's a translation consultant, and Mike works in media. And then this is our daughter, April, our second, and she's married to Carter. Carter's a pilot with Delta Airlines, and they live in Utah, and they have one daughter. And then this is our son, Clint, and he lives in Houston, works for an oil company, and he and his wife have two kids, a son and a daughter. And then our youngest is Christy, and she is serving in North Africa, in a country we can't disclose, with her husband, Michael, and they have two boys. And this is what our family looked like in 1989, when we were just beginning to work in a village in Indonesia to help translate the New Testament with a group of people for in central Indonesia. And so our kids, they grew up for part of their lives in a village, and they made friends with the people in the village, the kids in the village, and enjoyed some of the different activities in the village. And we enjoyed meals together with the people there. And often as a gift, they would bring a chicken by our house. And these are some of the traditional clothes in the village where we worked. Among the Na people, we were using pseudonyms for security reasons. And we worked with this team verse by verse, going through the whole New Testament, seeking to dig out the meaning of each verse and help them to translate it into their own language for the first time. And this was a team that I worked with. And this was the dedication of the Na New Testament back in 2000, and there was a huge celebration for the people receiving the New Testament for the first time in their own language. But this was just the beginning of our journey, of our ministry in Indonesia, and you were a part of supporting this New Testament, and we're going to hear more about what God has done in Indonesia through this ministry of Bible translation. But first, we'll take a moment and dig into some of the scriptures as we reflect on our journey with God. And we're going to start with Psalm 84:5. Could you please read this with me? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Now, in Israel, it used to be that about once a year, people would journey from wherever they lived in Israel. They would go on a pilgrimage, on a journey to Jerusalem to offer, to bring their sacrifices. But this is also a good verse for our lives. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. So we don't live in our own strength. Our strength comes through Christ, and who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. When I think about setting your heart on pilgrimage, to me, our spiritual lives, it's a journey, and we come with a certain determination and commitment to grow with God in our journey. And a pilgrimage is a process where God is revealing new things to us about himself as we're on this journey. And I was reading in our daily devotionals from Nehemiah this about a week or two ago. And in Nehemiah, they took time. Let me give the situation in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, they were 70 years in captivity. And even though they're still in captivity, God did some amazing things. Through Cyrus, he said, God worked through the heart of a king in order to enable them to rebuild their temple. So we read the book of Ezra, and they rebuilt the temple. And then next, through Nehemiah, Ezra was a priest, and then Nehemiah the governor, they rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. And while they were rebuilding the temple, they came across some scrolls, and it was the word of God. And Ezra, the priest, began to lead them in studying the word of God. And this is one of these days that they were reflecting on the word of God. Nehemiah 9:1, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. And they stood in their places, and they confessed their sins and weaknesses of their fathers. And they stood where they were, and they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of a day. Now that's about 3 hours. And then after that, they spent another quarter of the day, another 3 hours in confession and worshiping the Lord their God. Now, I promised Joe I would keep my sermon less than 3 hours this morning. I said I would try to keep it below the 40-minute limit here. Let me go back to that verse. I wanted to just reflect a little moment on the Word of God and how God uses His Word in our lives. And for me, this has a lot of meaning to me because I grew up in an Air Force family. We moved all the time. I lived in probably 10 or 11 different states growing up, and moved to Virginia when I was a senior in high school. Moved from Arizona to Virginia, and I wasn't a believer. Our family wasn't a church-going family, and I wasn't a believer, but I had a friend. His name was Don. And I saw a real difference in his life. I saw a peace and a contentment that he had that I didn't have. And we were in the same AP calculus class, and we were struggling. And so we were working on homework together. And one evening he told me, shared a little bit about his relationship with Jesus. And he told me if I was interested in learning about Jesus, that I should try reading the Bible. Well, at that time I didn't have a Bible, but about 3 weeks later, I became so curious as I thought about what he said that I went to a bookstore and I went to the religion section. I picked out a Bible. It happened to be a green padded Living Bible. And I brought it home. My family was at home. I didn't want them to see me coming in the house with a new Bible. So I kind of snuck into the house, put the Bible beside my bed, and every night I would read for a few minutes from the Bible. And as I began to read about the life of Jesus, about his teaching, I became convinced that this couldn't have been made up by men, but these words had to be from God. And when I talked more with my friend, he shared with me what I needed to do to accept Jesus in my life. And that time I prayed, I said, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner, and I pray, I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior, and I want to I want to follow you, Jesus. And I prayed that prayer, and that was the beginning for me of new life. That was the beginning of my journey with Jesus, beginning of new life, and it came as a result of reading his word and being engaged with his word. The next thing that we see, how God draws us to himself, is through prayer. And in Nehemiah 9:4, this is probably one of the longer prayers in the Bible. It's a prayer of reflection on who God is, who we are, and the journey that we're on. And he's at the beginning, there were eight Levites who were leading in this prayer, and they called out with loud voice to the Lord, their God. And here's how they began their prayer in Nehemiah 9, 5, and 6. May your glorious name be praised. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. And one of the things growing up is that my dad loved to go camping. And we lived in places like Alaska when I was in middle school. And almost every weekend we would be camping. And one of the things that I enjoyed about that is just seeing the majesty of God's creation. And it all points to God, doesn't it? In Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. I don't know what I did. Did I do that? The heavens point to the glory of God. Does anyone have that second part memorized? But God's creation points us to who God is, His majesty. And we tried to carry on that tradition with our kids. When we've been in the States on furlough, we go to national parks, but overseas, Indonesia, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. And here we are in the Philippines because we couldn't get a visa to Indonesia, so we're based many years in the Philippines while working in Indonesia. In Philippines, there's a Mount Apo, which is the largest mountain, and we did it as a family, and it's just beautiful. And you see God's creation in all its glory. And this is something that I enjoy on my journey with God, is being in His creation, enjoying the beauty of all that God's created, and how that points to the glory and the majesty of God and who God is and His power and His glory. In Psalm 84:5, I want us to kind of grasp this verse in our lives. So let's read this one again. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Well, next in their prayer to God, as they're leading the nation of Israel, in Nehemiah 9, 7, 8 says, you are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him from Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. And when he had proved himself faithful, you made a covenant with him to give him and his descendants the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Girgashites, and you have done what you promised, for you are always true to your word. And so one way that we can grow near to God and that we have is through clinging to His calling and His promises. And in this prayer, they talk about God's calling and promise to Abraham. The Lord has said to Abraham in Genesis 12:1, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God blessed Abraham. He made his descendants into a nation, and then through his descendants came the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus was the one who paid the price for all of our sins when he died for us on the cross. Then he rose again, and then Jesus gave this calling to us, the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And this is the calling that we have, and God's gifted us in all different ways, and it takes everyone to be a part of this call. This church has been praying for us and giving toward us so that we can be involved in taking His word to others, and we're all part of this call together. And when we were just married back in 1984, one of the things that we did is we started our training with Wycliffe that same year. We got down, we felt God leading us to be a part of the Great Commission through Bible translation. We got down on our knees and we prayed to the Lord and we said, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, we just want to be surrendered to you. And if it be your will, allow us to be involved in helping one language group to get your word for the first time in their heart language. And God opened the doors for us as we trained and prepared. But, you know, one of the things that we find out is that when we lean into God and accept His calling into our lives, another way that God works is through trials. And we see in Nehemiah 9, 9 through 10, you saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, his officials, and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. You have a glorious reputation that has never been forgotten. You divided the seas for your people, and so they could walk through on dry land. And then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea. They sank like stones beneath the mighty waters. You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of night so that they could find their way. So in the history of Israel, we see that they were slaves in Egypt. Joseph brought them there, but they had a new Pharaoh who didn't appreciate the Jews and made them slaves. But God had a plan, even through the trials, to draw them closer to Himself. Even through the wilderness, God guided them. And we've seen that in our lives. We've had children who have been sick overseas, who we were in the village. We didn't even know one time if our son was going to make it because his breathing was so difficult. We've experienced trials, but God was with us each step of the way. He rescued our son in that situation. He was in a hospital for a month, but God worked. And we see that in our ministry. One of the groups that I work with, I've been a consultant for the Mudanot. It's a pseudonym for security reasons. But this is the group that we're working with that's the farthest away and most remote. It takes 10 hours by bus, and then after that, another 10 hours to get to their area by boat. And there are no roads to their area. And so we would travel there sometimes. And on this trip, we were taking the Gospel of Luke for the first time in the Jesus film to some of the villages that had never heard it before. And so even getting on and off the boat was a little bit challenging. Fortunately, I didn't end up in the water. But beautiful area, but we see, this is where I slept each night on that trip, on a mat on the floor. But we see the spiritual darkness in some of these areas of Indonesia. These people worship their ancestors, and they build statues, and then they make sacrifices to the spirits of their ancestors. But even through the trials and challenges of trying to get to the remoter villages, God blessed, and we were able to bring the Gospel of Luke and share the Jesus film in some of these villages using generator, and God touched many lives and brought many to Himself. And through the midst of the trials, God is at work. We see His hand. Psalm 84:5. Will you help me? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. We also see that God draws us nearer to Himself through His provision for us. In Nehemiah 9:15, we read, this is their prayer. You gave them bread and from heaven when they were hungry, and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land that you had sworn to give them. Before Leanne and I worked in Bible translation ministry, Leanne worked as a nurse, and I was a systems analyst with Burroughs Corporation out in California. But when God led us to join Wycliffe, that became another walk of faith for us, because we left our jobs, and then we prayed that God would provide churches and individuals who would support us in this ministry. And God raised up this church and five other churches and some individuals, but we don't receive a salary. Our income is month to month based on whatever God gives to us through His people, and we have been so blessed. God has been faithful, and this has drawn us closer to Him, depending daily. So whatever we do, we depend daily. It's all from God, how He provides for us and the means. But This is another way that God draws closer to us. We are depending on Him for daily provision. Another way that God draws us nearer to us as we journey with Him is through our own stumblings and failings and then repenting and coming back to God. And it doesn't matter whether you're a missionary or what. We've all experienced times when we knew the way we should go, but somehow through our own stumbling and failing and sin, we got off track. And this was no different for the people of Israel, Nehemiah 9, 16, 17. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey, and they did not remember the miracles that you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them. And Nehemiah, at the beginning of the book, he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. And I confess to you that I've fallen short on many different occasions, whether through pride, whether in our marriage, we've been through counseling at times in our marriage, whether raising kids. You know, I've even gone to our kids and I've said, you know, please let me know how I can grow as a father, because I know I've blown it, and please let me know where I've blown it so that I can ask your forgiveness. And so I realize that we're clay jars, that we often fall short. But even in our weakness, even when we stumble, God can use that to draw us closer to Himself, to help us to recognize that we are dependent on Him, and that anything we do, it comes from Him, that He is our source of strength. We also grow near to God through His Spirit, and we read about this in Nehemiah 9, verses 19 and 20. And they, in their prayer, they said, but in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of clouds still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good Spirit to instruct them. And you know, as believers, God has given us, He promised us to give us a Spirit, and then He gave us the Spirit. And it's through the power of His Spirit that we become His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So God, through His Spirit, if we're listening to, attuned to His Spirit, He will show us and reveal more of God to ourselves and the path ahead for us, just like He did for Philip, who was on a journey. Philip was someone who was sharing Christ with others, but on this journey, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official, and this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now, he wasn't a believer yet. He was just going to Jerusalem because this is what he'd heard. He wasn't even a Jew. And yet, he was seeking answers, and he happened to be reading the book of Isaiah about the prophecy about the Messiah. And the Spirit told Philip, get over there to that chariot and talk to this guy. And Philip began talking to him and explaining what that prophecy about the Messiah meant. And you know what happened? That eunuch, that Ethiopian official, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized that very same day. Now, it's kind of interesting. In our neighborhood, Leanne and I, we go for walks in our neighborhood. And one of our neighbors, this is one of our neighbors, and she is very friendly. When we would go on walks, she would often greet us, and her name is Sandra, we learned later. And just a couple weeks ago, Sandra asked us if we had any Irish ancestry, and we both have some Irish ancestry, and so we said yes. And she said, well, I happen to be an editor for a local magazine, and we want to do an article on someone with Irish ancestry for St. Patrick's Day. Well, we've never been to Ireland, and we can't exactly trace our ancestry, and we tried to say, well, maybe there you might have some better candidates. But as we thought about it, you know, St. Patrick has an interesting history. St. Patrick's not even Irish. St. Patrick, he's from England, And the Irish, people from Ireland, invaded England, and they took Patrick captive. And he was a slave for many years in Ireland. And he later, after 8 or 9 years, he escaped and got back to England, decided to get in the ministry. And then he was the one who felt called to go back to Ireland and bring the gospel to Ireland. So he was one of the first people to bring Christianity to Ireland. Well, we were able to talk to Sander and connect what we do a little bit with what St. Patrick had done. And we're bringing God's people, who have, God's word to people who've never had it before in their language. And she did an interview with us, and they put, this isn't a Christian magazine, but we figure this is a divine appointment. So we shared my testimony in this article. We shared about what we do. And this just came out this month. So we figure God's Spirit was involved in this, and He may use this article to touch some of the hearts of our neighbors with the message of Christ. Psalm 84:5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Well, it didn't end with the Napu people getting the New Testament, but there were neighboring languages, and I think God's Spirit was prompting them. They told us, how come the Na people are getting the New Testament, but we're even more people and we don't have a New Testament in our language? When can you come to help us? So God led us to work with Wycliffe, Indonesia, and start a cluster of three other languages that were desiring to have the New Testament in their languages. And the goal in this cluster was the New Testament in three languages plus more Old Testament in the Na, because they were wanting, they weren't satisfied just with the Old Testament, New Testament, they wanted more of the Old Testament. So we worked with these three language groups, and these are a little bit of pictures so you can see what their village areas looked like. This one, this group of 10,000 people, God led our daughter to be she went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and then she studied Indonesian so she'd be more fluent in a national language, and then she studied the Ba language and helped the Ba team to do, translate the New Testament to their language. She worked there for over 5 years, and we helped the Na people to get more of the Old Testament. And then in 2017, there was a, besides this, we were training Indonesians who were being trained as facilitators and consultants. And in each of these languages, they're having morning devotions in their own languages. There were songwriting workshops, so they were having they were developing praise songs in their languages, worship services in their languages, Sunday school, kids, Bible club in each of these languages, Bible reading contests, scripture posters. Everywhere you go in these villages, you'll find scripture posters with scripture in their heart languages. And then youth camp. Jesus film was recorded in all four of these languages. Worship videos. And then in 2017, we came to dedications for three more languages. And here's Janelle with the Ba team. And our family was able to be present for the dedication of the Ba New Testament. And we are so excited to see what God is doing in the lives of the people as they engage with His Word in their heart languages. Psalm 84:5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. You know, in this verse, it talks about blessed are those whose strength is in you. And this is really talking about the abiding relationship that we have in Christ. Jesus says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we see that things didn't end with four languages. Wycliffe, Indonesia, Kartidaya invited pastors from other islands to come and see what was happening in this central part of Indonesia. And they invited us to come and start some new clusters in other islands. And so five more clusters got started, providing God's word for the first time in a total of 30 languages. And I was asked to come to the Robeno Cluster. A pastor was willing to host 3-week workshops 4 times a year at his church. And the people slept in the second floor. There was room. And then later I was asked to help start the CIMAR Cluster. And then each time I would start a cluster, I'd train Indonesians to help take over. And more people got trained as cluster leaders. And the CIMAR was for 7 languages in the Gospel of Luke. And we started out face-to-face in the CIMAR cluster, meeting with the teams and training them and doing consultant checks. Leanne taught English during lunchtime because some of the people wanted to learn English. And then they were publishing scripture portions. And then came COVID, and we did Zoom, Zoom long distance. And I was working graveyard shifts from 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. During each workshop. And we set up satellite internet connections so they could connect in the villages. And we did consultant checks long distance. And then we were finally able to go back and work with them face-to-face and see those 7 languages published, the Gospel Luke and the Jesus film in each of the 7 languages. Today, we're working back in the Robeno Cluster to help the 6 languages complete the New Testament. We work with Janelle in this cluster, and sometimes Leanne watches the kids for Janelle at workshops, and I'm helping and training some other team members. Psalm 84:5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. You know, it's interesting what Jesus says. It shocks us what he says. John 14:12, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. And in Indonesia, we see there's many more languages. In fact, only 38 have the complete Bible, 104 have the New Testament. There's about 700 languages in Indonesia. And there's still about 223 that do not have any scripture that we think will, most likely, they will need a Bible translation. But one of the things we're seeing is God's bringing together a coalition of all the Bible translation organizations. We're starting to work together in new ways. And I'm part of the steering committee, and it's Indonesian Bible Society and several other organizations. We're working together to see every remaining language group has the opportunity to have God's word in their own language. And the vision that this group of organizations in Indonesia and churches is that by 2033, every language group that still needs it should have portions of the Bible in oral, written, or visual form. That's not too far away. And we see that God can do this, and you are a part of this. One of the new tools that we helped to pilot is Taste of Translation, where in 2 days we do survey about language vitality, and then we translate 4 verses of Scripture. We help them to translate 4 verses of Scripture. Jesus calms the storm. And we've some of these places we have to go by airplane, small aircraft. But then go by four-wheel drive vehicle through some pretty muddy roads. And then we get out there, and we got such a warm greeting in this particular village, and they fed us very well. And then we did survey, and we used various tools to determine, are the kids still learning? How strong is the language? How many dialects are there? And then on the second day of the workshop, we go through a process of oral drafting, 4 verses of Scripture. Jesus calms the storm, Luke 8:22 through 25. We take it all the way through consultant check, and then we do a recording and we publish it. And we've done this in 60 different language groups in Indonesia, and many of them are going to go on because they want more, and they're committed to seeing God's word translated. And there are some places where there are very few Christians, and we're seeing it go forward there. Indonesia is 85% Muslim. Many of these language groups, there are not many Christians. And we can see the joy on their face even as they read out, Jesus calms the storm, 4 verses in their own heart language. And God's word is going to more and more of these people. And one day we look forward to seeing in heaven people from all these various language groups worshiping God together in heaven around the throne. Thank you for being a part of this ministry with us. Let's read this verse one more time. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege it is of knowing you, of being able to come boldly before you through prayer. We thank you for this church, their commitment to the Great Commission, to being witnesses for you in their community and around the world through the missionaries they support and through Bible translation work in Indonesia. We pray that every remaining group in Indonesia that still needs your word, you will open the way that all these groups could have your word in the language that speaks to them best, and that many more people will come to know you in a personal way. We thank you and pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.